This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I realize that growing in the Lord, you come to a point where God is doing and allowing things in your life that He wants to change your circumstances. Now, I've been preaching a lot about Egypt, and I realized it was all for me, my sermons. Maybe some of you got touched by it, but it was really what God was doing in my life. That there has come a point where God frustrated me so much because He had to move me to a new circumstance. I'm not sure exactly where it's going to be, but I know that I've got to respond out of obedience in God. And my whole message, I realized we hold on to our own ways and what we believe God had said to us, but sometimes we've got to let go and let God do what He wants to do through our lives. So my message this morning is just part of trusting in God, being led by the Spirit and not by our own desires and our own flesh and our own ideas and our rules and what people saying to us, but to trust and surrender to God that we can follow that what He is doing. So I'm just going to say, this is just part of my introduction, but Lynette and I have come to a point and we've cried and prayed and we just came to a point we just couldn't do it anymore. We realized that God is moving us. So I have also resigned. Lynette resigned and it was her last day at the end of last month, February, and I'm resigning for 3 months. So to give a handover, to let someone that will take my place, to take it to the next level. So for me, I know that God is moving me, and I had to respond to that. So for me, 2 years ago at the pastor summit, I got a pamphlet saying, let go. Colossians 1 verse 17 says that I've moved you out of darkness into the kingdom of God for the forgiving of sins and redemption of who we are. And I didn't understand it. And a year later, I was asked to step down to a sabbatical, and I prayed and God said, let it go, let it go. But I'm in honest prestige. So I didn't understand why this was happening, but I realized I had to let go. And the thing that came up to me the whole time is let go and let God. It was very, very difficult for me. So I started thinking, what must I do and where must I go? Must I go and work? And I worked through all the different scenarios, and it actually made me sick to a point that I collapsed last week, 2 weeks ago. And I went to the a specialist doctor. It's an internist in Afrikaans. I couldn't figure out what the internist was, but it's a specialized doctor. And he just said, you know, change your circumstances, your blood pressure, and all will go down. I had a stomach virus, and out of a stomach virus, I went into a 3-day fast, and my body just couldn't keep up. But I realized that God allowed all these things to happen to bring me to a point where He says, now, I've given you an open door, go through it. But I wanted to, where's the open door? I cannot see the open door. And Friday morning, I was invited to the CBMC group, and this man, Arno van Niekerk, spoke to us, and he said something. He said, to go through your open door is to face your giants. And I thought, oh, that's the word for me. So and I've been preaching it the whole time. So God's been speaking to me so much about this. But the open door is to face the giants. That is where faith is. Because I thought, can't God just give me R1 million and I can, you know, for 2 years be comfortable? But it didn't work that way. So this is where we are. And Lazarus, I'm going to start a ministry for healing and deliverance. And I want to call it Light. Also, let it go, because let go and let God. God has been speaking to me so much, but light. And 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness. And John 1:9 says that God is light and He removes all darkness. And I just believe my gifting is to help people to come into the light, because in the light they cannot have darkness. They move out from the darkness. So this is where I believe God is leading me and my family. And we are excited. I'm relieved because there's just one less scenario that I can run through my mind. And I know now I'm trusting God. and I can walk with that. And it was amazing. So all these things happened with me over a number of years, and I didn't understand it. And it was almost like it was escalating, and the whole thing with the cloud that is moving, and I'm feeling the heat, and I'm not sure where must I go. Seeking God, seeking the Lord, where, what, crying before Him, realizing He's moving, He's wanting to move me. So, but I'm going to be part of the church still. I want to be part of the future. There's a lot of things that we have discussed with the leaders, and I believe there's amazing things that God can do, and I want to be part of that, but I have to follow where God is leading me. So my sermon this morning is Galatians 5, and it says that for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We are free in Christ. There's nothing that we must do because we are free in Him. It's not about what we're doing for Christ. It's who we are. And that song that you chose this morning, says we are free in Him. It's by His grace. It's not what we're doing for Him. And I believe we as Christians get a warning here. Stand firm, therefore, that you are not submit to a yoke of slavery. Because as soon as we receive Jesus, we want to almost fall back into having to do things for Him. We have to guard against doing things because we feel we have to versus doing things because God has spoken to us. It's from faith. It's out of a place where God inspires me to want to do things. So I cannot love my neighbor if I don't have love for God. Out of my love for God, He compels me to love and to want to lay down my life. And I believe many times we want to do things because we see it in Scripture, but we do it in our own strength, and it makes us tired, and we become almost lethargic, that we just stand back because it doesn't come from in the Spirit. And so for me, I believe, and where I've dealt with many people, and I've prayed with many people, and people suffering from things that I really thought they were, you know, in my own flesh, I would go, you can't do that. I realized that Christ's desire is not to get people to stop sinning, but his desire is to have people come to Him in relationship with Him. In that place, we lose the desire for sin. Now, there's a guy that I know, his name is Danny. He's a monster of a man. I really look up to him. He's a very, very strong man. A long time ago, he and I did some work together, and I couldn't believe this thing that he picked up. He's just an incredible strong man. And through time, he came to me, and we prayed again, and he wanted me to pray with him specifically at the Rape Crisis Center, which I did. And he said to me, I've got this problem. I love smoking. And I thought, and then the next moment, I just got this little voice, and I realized what I had to tell him. And I told him what my friend Morris, he was a pastor. He died some time ago, but he told me he would smoke, he and his wife, before a service. And then they would do this. And they would go and pray for people. And people would stand out of wheelchairs, getting healed, blind people see. And he felt so convicted because he was still smoking. And God was doing these amazing miracles through his life. And I shared it with Danny. We eventually prayed, and in the praying, I led him to speak to Jesus, and he got a word back. And I said to him, I'd ask him about the smoking. And God said to him, don't worry about that now. He was like, and I was excited. I was really excited. And we walked out, and there was a man that I prayed for. I led him to the Lord with his wife. I haven't seen him for months. I wondered what was happening to him. They came from very terrible, terrible circumstances. I thought he just fell back. But he came back on that day as we walked out. But he had jaw problems. And I said to him, he said, can someone just pray for me? Because his wife, he was living on the street. And she came, she got saved, and God transformed their lives. And they came there because they really want to do something in their lives now. And I said to Danny, Danny, why don't you pray for him? And he looked at me and he prayed this like really hard prayer, like forceful prayer. And then he said to the guy, how are you feeling? And he says, oh, I'm healed. And I'm going, but that is who God is. And it's just that place where I realized we are free in Christ. And we don't have to do things for him. We can just be in him. Out of that place of God's love, we must respond to the things that God wants to do through our lives. Because to follow Jesus is not hard. It's not difficult. Matthew 11 says, come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've just come to that point where I believe we do many things for God and it feels like a burden, and this heart and the burden from the Lord, and I get, you know, it's so tough and the demons are against me and the principalities and the powers and everything comes against me. But Jesus says, come to me, you are heavy laden, I will give you rest. In that place, that's the where the victory is. It's in the place of Christ. Because when he died on the cross, it said it's finished. It's done. The work has been done on the cross 2,000 years ago. It should not be difficult for us. We must just come into that place where God had called us so that he can do the work. But when we do it ourselves, we will struggle. And I believe this is where God is leading me. Do not want to do it in my own strength, but to trust him. You know, to fall back and say, Lord, I know you're going to catch me. Because relationship is about trust and communication. If we have relationship with God, we will trust that God is good, that God will provide for me, that he is with me. And that's in that place of communication. And this is where I believe God is wanting to take all of us to that place where we can trust God and not hear what other people are saying. Think, what must I do? But rather, God, what must I do? And allow him to lead. And when people speak, I speak out of confirmation of what God has really already spoken into my heart. Instead of relying on other people to hear what God is saying. And for me, it's easy to come to me and want to hear from God versus to go to God directly and hear what God is wanting for us. Because God's plans is good, and he wants to prosper us, he wants to bless us, he wants to give us a future and a hope. But I believe God wants to give it to yourself and not to give it to you through a person. Because then we'd be coming back to what the Reformation was all about. It's by faith. It's not by what we do. And the whole Reformation was they came back to that one point that we are saved by faith. It's by coming to God and not by the things that we're having to do for him. So Galatians 5 verse 2 says, Paul says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from Christ. So basically what happened, these Jewish people were set free, but then they started doing things to want to have acceptance in God again. So they came to a point where they said, but you have to be circumcised if you want to follow God. And what he said, if you're starting to do those rules without having God, you are going to sever yourself from Christ. It will not be, you'll become tired, you'll become weary, you'll become upset because God's spirit, God's power will not be flowing through you anymore. So we try to do things, I believe, to get God's acceptance versus to accept what God has done. And out of that place, we might respond. I don't want to say we do respond. I just say we might respond for those people who have not completely come into that place where God has spoken to them. So, you know, if we feel that I do right, then God will come through for me. And I've preached it, and I want to say, sorry, forgive me. We many times say, you've got to align yourself. You've got to do this. You've got to repent. So we're saying many things. But in actual fact, what I realized is many times we're drawing people into works so that God can come through for them. And it's such a fine line. But I feel like it needs to be spoken because sin destroys. I just want to say that I'm not saying that, you know, hyper grace. I'm just saying if we sin, it will destroy us. All sin destroys us. The result of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. So Lisa, I saw her somewhere. No, there she is. She's got this beautiful saying, and I just want to share it with you. She uses it in the parenting, but she says, don't let my revelation become your burden. And that's what we many times do, I believe, as believers. We tell people what God has done in my life, but then that other person cannot do it because it's a burden onto them. So don't let my revelation become your burden. For me, for instance, God spoke to me about praying for a long time. But for other people, it was a burden because God hadn't spoken that to him. So even if it's a good thing, it can become a burden to someone else if it's not inspired from where God is wanting to take us. You know, and I believe that our testimonies, even our testimonies, should bring glory to God. It shouldn't inspire people to do things for God. And there's even a difference in that, because we can bring testimonies and say, but come, we must go to the shelter, which is a good thing. But if you are not called for the shelter and I bring that testimony, it can be a burden to you, because you go there and you just feel, I'm not good enough and I'm a bad Christian because all of these things, it's not me. But when God speaks to you, like Johan van Wyk, and he's so excited about what's happening with the street people, he's getting more position than anyone I know, but he loves it. I know that's God, because God has anointed him to do that work. Maybe one of us go there and we go, oh, this guy again, I cannot believe he's done this again. And this is the difference, where I believe all of us have a different calling in different places that God has given to us, and each one of us must discover what God has called for all of us as individual people. So Romans 14 verse 23 says, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And faith is relationship with God, hearing the word of God. Faith is that place where I trust what God is saying to me is what I need to do. So when the scripture says we must forgive, and you just do it because I'll just do it. And verses where God speaks to you, forgive. And you'll know, you'll just start crying, you'll forgive, and it will cleanse you. So you can read through all these lists of the Freemasons or whatever it is that you've gone through, but there was not spirit in that. It will not make you free, even though you've read it, because it wasn't from God's spirit that we changed. And what Arnu van Niekerk on Friday spoke, he had this encounter with God in Austria, one of these places at a university, and God spoke to him, and out of that, he moved. And he said, with David, the God's spirit came over David, and out of that, he moved. Gideon, God's spirit came over him, and out of that, he moved. For each one of us, we can only seek God to receive his spirit and to move. And I believe this is the answer to all the problems in this world, is Jesus, but it's Jesus in us. Because we as believers, he had said, so I'm quoting Arnu, but I agree with what he's saying, we've become shallow. There's no power in what we do and what we say anymore. But that power cannot come because I'm saying you are shallow and you must do something about it. It can only come from a place where God reveals it to you and you go, oh, Lord, but you see a problem, or you see something that excites you, and God had spoken to you, but I don't know how it's going to happen. Where Angus Buchan says, when your dreams are, if your dreams doesn't, if it doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. But those are dreams that God has placed in our hearts. And I believe that each one of us must come before God to a place where we are scared by the dream that God has given to us. Say, God, if this is not you, I'm going to die. But I believe this is where God is wanting to take all of us. Verse 5 says, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. So if we do it, if we don't do it, it doesn't mean anything, but faith working through love. Faith, relationship with God, the outflow is the love of that. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. Then it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. So, through the Spirit, God's Spirit, in faith responding to that, we wait for the hope of righteousness. We have hope in God because God is good. We become righteous because of what God has done in our lives. So in Christ, that what we do will bring a blessing, will bring life. Without him, it will not. It will not. So I'd say to you, we do the right thing because we are inspired by Jesus to do them. From that place, God brings reconciliation between nations, tribes, families. He brings reconciliation in our lives. He changes lives. He changes countries. I'm adding to what Anu said as well. There are so many problems in South Africa. We can come with all the solutions to the problems, but the only solution that our country has is Jesus. But it's only when we become what he has called us to be, that we can, on here, have an influence in one person, in one person's life. And not just one event, maybe, that changes like 10 people, but there's no real life. Because it's only the Spirit that brings life. Then he says in verse 11, but if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. So he's preaching, he says, I'm not preaching that you must do things. I'm preaching that you must trust in God, and that's where the opposition is, because no one wants to trust God completely. Maybe some of you can agree with me. To trust God, to trust in the impossible. Because what do? You work out scenarios of how God must do it. And you work yourself so tired because you're trying to figure out, how is he going to do this? Lord, just give me a word. Just give me a sign. Just give me. And he just says to me, follow me. But I don't understand what he's saying. I just want to see what it's going to mean. Because if I miss him, I'm going to have nothing. And my wife and my children and Lord, and school fees and all these things in my house and all of that. But it's that place where he says, follow me, because I've heard his voice. So it's difficult to trust God. It's difficult to just walk by faith, because what if we miss it? And then he says in verse 12, I wish those who unsettle you will emasculate themselves. So, you know, their foreskin. They will say, you must cut your foreskin. I hope they cut themselves completely. This is what Scripture is saying. So he's very strongly speaking against where we are being forced to do things if it's not from within what God inspires us to want us to do. Then verse 13 says, for if you were called to freedom, brothers, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. We call to freedom. Don't use it to sin again. Because that's what many people come to, a point where they feel, I can sin. I've heard of men who believe they can, even now, who can sleep with prostitutes because they can show the love of Jesus to them. That's sin. That will destroy those people if they do those things. But through love, God's love, a serving love, a surrendering love, we must serve one another. And it's fulfilled in this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Matthew 22 says that we must love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all that we have, we must love God. And that what comes with that is that we will love one another as itself. We cannot love our brother if there's not love for God. It starts with my relationship in God, and that will, that the outflow will be that I will love my brother as I love myself. So for me, the source here is our relationship, is our love for God, is our trust, that we completely trust God, that we are in a place where we walk by faith in what He has done for us on the cross, that we hope what He's going to do in our future, the love of what He has done for us, knowing that we have an identity in Christ, that we are children of God, that we are justified by faith, we are righteous by faith, we are temples of the Holy Spirit, we are holy, we are saints. This is who God says we are. In Scripture, He says that we accept what God has done for us, and that we can walk from that place, that we are light to this world and to this world and salt to this earth. That this is who we are. This is who God says we are. That He says we are sinless in Him. In Him. If there is still sin, we grow in that. There's no fear, but it's God's perfect love. So I get transformed to become more like Christ as I spend more time with Him. So out of that place, that knowing who God is and having revelation of Him, it just comes naturally that I want to love my brothers. Verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And I believe this word is maybe a word for us as believers, that when the outflow of our interaction with people is that we fight and argue, we will devour one another. We will break one another down so much so, because words hurts. And it's like when you speak a word against someone, it's like a nail that you hit into a flat piece of wood. But when you apologize and say, I'm sorry, you take that nail out. But the thing is, there's a hole that stays behind. So I believe it's sometimes better just to be quiet and listen instead of to speak just too quickly. Because sometimes we leave a nail in someone's piercing, and when we say sorry, we take it out, but it still hurts. So the words that we speak, and for me, God is just convicting me not to speak too much, just to keep quiet, to listen, to even when I respond, is to pray, Lord, what is it that you want to do? When I give advice, not to give advice if I don't hear this is from God, rather just to keep quiet, because I don't want to say something that will draw someone into the law. Because I said, someone asked me, should I do this? And I go, yes, yes, do it by faith, because I'm impulsive. And then sometimes I could miss God completely. And because I've said it, that person believes it's God. And I'll have to stand in judgment before God for misleading a person. So I just realized in that our words, I must be careful in the words that I speak. And especially when there's arguing amongst one another, say, Lord, God, we need more of you. And I believe what really just changes us here is repentance and forgiveness of one another, that we can come to a place of trusting again. Because relationship will only be from a place of trust and where we communicate with one another. But if that is broken, the relationship will break. But trust takes time. And it's honesty, and it's keeping your word, and it's communicating well, and it's listening, and it's all those things that will build good relationships amongst us. Verse 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what I just realized by that, in Christ, I don't want to sin. In Christ, he takes the desire to smoke, he takes it away. To get drunk, he takes it away. Because all of us, doesn't matter what your poison is, if you're in the flesh long enough, that thing will start knocking on your door again. You can come for how many deliverance sessions, but if you are in the flesh, that thing will start knocking on your door, and you will start get a desire to drink or whatever your thing is, or you start hearing you biting or skinnering or whatever it comes from the things that God's saying we shouldn't do if we are not if you are not being led in the Spirit. And I just want to say here, for us charismatics, being Spirit-filled is not speaking in tongues. Being Spirit-filled is being changed to become more like Jesus. It's the fruit, and I also will speak about the fruit. It's not speaking in tongues and prophesying. We will know by our fruit that we are disciples, not by the gifts that we bring. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I realize the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. With the Word of God, I can hurt someone intensely badly. I can hurt someone with the Scripture. If I give Scripture and there's no Spirit, I can hurt. It's the Spirit that brings life. And the Spirit to flow through us is that place where we are in Christ. And you know, this might sound like work, but it requires time. It's like my marriage, and I've seen it in Ephesians 5. It's not what I do to make Lynette happy with me, because I did everything I could. I hanged the washing, and I packed out the dishwashing machine, and we still argued. But it's relationship that caused us that love. I realized I've got to love my wife as I love myself, by doing the needs that she has, by hearing what is her love language, by all those things, that communicating and then responding to that, that fixed our marriage. The same with God. As I get to know God, I want to do the things that pleases Him, and I see it in Scripture, and He speaks to me, and He convicts me, and the outflow of that brings life. So you can read the Bible, or you can read the Bible to be transformed. The word of the sword is the Spirit of God, is the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God. But if there's no Spirit, it will not bring life. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So I just realized if there's no Spirit, you'll start seeing that the fruit will just start growing, and it will become bigger and bigger. And what I realized, Derek Prince said, if you want to look at marriages, and you'll see what doctrine is being taught. And I realized that when doctrine is getting off, it will start manifesting in relationships. The doctrine that brings life will bring healing, will bring love, will bring goodness, will bring people to a point to come closer to who God is. So the works of the flesh are evident. It's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Then the things for us Christians, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. As I warned you, I've warned you before, that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I just realized when we are in the flesh, you'll start seeing, we'll start living flesh. If we're in the Spirit, we start living Spirit. We'll start living life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, I'll give you peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those of you who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So if these desires for sin, it means that you need to spend time, come to Jesus to see God. He will take those desires, I believe with all my heart, He will take it away. Verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So if we live by the Spirit, we will respond and be obedient to what the Spirit is showing us. And for some people, it might mean that they're still smoking, but they're reading the Bible. But that's where God wants them. So it's not for me to say, stop smoking or stop your sin. It's just to encourage them to come more to Christ. Because in that place, God helps us. And then in verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, which means pride. And I believe this is the one thing for us all believers we must really guard against, is pride. Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Well, as soon as we think we are above, and this is the one sin that we will never feel condemned about. That's the one sin. So I think for all of us, we must just say, God, if there's any pride in my heart, please take it away from me. Because pride we will not see. But we will know God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Provoking one another. Envying one another. When those things happens, I believe it's time for us just to come back to God. To just turn back to God. Because the last scripture I just want to finish with is in Luke 6, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. A good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And an evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what I realized here is our heart is the tree. And the words that come from our mouth is the fruit. So it's an easy way, what do you say, to determine what is in your heart. So if there's bad things coming from your mouth, you can know that there's bad things happening in your heart. If there's good things, blessings coming from your mouth, you can know that there's good things in your heart. Now, if you are like me, realizing that I speak many things that is not good, I realized, God, you need to do something because my tree is not good. And that's the good news. That's Jesus on the cross. Because on the cross, when he died, he took fear and he gave us love. And he took anxiousness and he gave us peace. And he took depression and he gave us joy. The exchange has happened on the cross. It's just by turning back to God. And that place is a place of walking in faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. As we confess with our mouth, and I just want to read that to you. But what do you say? The word is near you. The word is in your mouth and in your heart. The tree and the words. The word is in your mouth and in your heart. Then it says, but if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So we are saved because I confess and I believe the words and the heart. And then it says, from the heart, one believes and is justified. Justified means you are made, God declares you sinless. And then it says, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. We confess, I believe, too little because our faith is dependent on the confessions we make. So if you realize that there's things happening, I believe the confessions will transform and renew our mind. We will become more like Christ because my mind gets renewed. So this is what's happening in my heart comes from the confessions that I make. If I constantly allow myself to be open to negative talk or things on television, all of that will corrupt your heart and you will see it will start coming from your mouth. If you want to change it, it's not by reading the word that we get faith. It's by hearing the word. So I believe in our quiet times, we've got to confess what God has done for us, who God is, what he says, who we are. And that changes who we are so that we can, our minds get renewed. Instead of having negative and lustful thoughts or breaking down thoughts, we start getting thoughts that becomes more like God because of the renewing that has taken place. So confessing who God is and allowing God to do that work then in us so that we understand. When we realize that there's something that needs to change, we can come back to God. We repent, and repentance doesn't mean I'm sorry. It's saying I'm changing the way I think. I don't want to walk this way anymore. I don't want to do this thing anymore. I want to follow God, which is a completely different thing. So repentance and that forgiving and all of that flows from that place where we have interaction with God. And when we confess who God is, God starts revealing himself to us. Because maybe you are like me in this way as well, that I've prayed and I so badly wanted to hear God's voice, but I never heard his voice. I always wanted to speak to people and say, what is God saying for me? What is God's will for me? What must I do? Because I didn't hear it myself. But as I learned to confess who God is, and many times it felt like I'm confessing it into this black hole. Nothing came from it. Suddenly, something changed. My spirit got activated. And I hear God's voice. And I know what he's saying. And that's exciting. But I cannot do it for you. Only you can do it for you. I cannot only do it for me. I cannot do it for my children even. They can only do it for themselves. Where they see God. Where they see God with all their heart. In the name of Jesus. So I just want to ask the ushers as we finish just to hand out the communion. That as the beginning of the month, we can just declare that God is a good God. That on the cross, he died for us. That we know the work has been done. It's finished. That we are free because of what he has done on the cross for us. We are set free. There's no burden on us because he's done it already. He said it is finished. And in that place, I believe, is the answer for where we work, for our marriages, for our work. Is the answer to what God wants to do in our lives. The miracles that wants to happen is to understand that he has done it already on the cross. And to allow God's Spirit to reactivate us or activate us. That we can rekindle the gift of God that's been given in us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Where we can see God's kingdom come because God has done that work in us already. Okay. So as the communion is being handed out, I'm just going to give you a moment to just be quiet, and maybe there are things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that you just want to bring before the Lord and pray to the Lord about that. As I just finish, God is saying in his word that we must seek the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe those things are, we become those things because we are seeking him. That in that place we are not anxious for anything, but because we seek him. We don't worry about the day of tomorrow. What will we eat? What will we wear? Because of the place that we have, we're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That in that place, God provides and he leads. That's what God has called us to do, is to become more like him. The outflow is to become more like him. And when we become more like Christ, and the Spirit of God is in us, it draws. The Spirit draws people to Jesus, and Jesus saves. And I trust that God will do a new thing in all of us, to really seek him and to be led by the Spirit, and that we will crucify the flesh and the desires of the flesh to become more like who Jesus is. I really believe that's the answer that we have to all the problems that we are facing, is to becoming more like Jesus, each one for itself. And in that place, I believe the only place we can get there is to be inspired to want to know and to become more like Jesus. Father, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you that each one of us are members of the body of Christ, Lord. And that each one of us have its part to play in your body, Lord. Lord, thank you that you, on the cross, got broken for us so that we can be whole, that we can become one in Christ, Lord, as you and the Father were one. I pray, Lord, that you will reveal this to us. And we thank you that we can eat and remember your body, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It was once and for all given for all of us, that we can know this power in the blood, and in you all things are possible, because you are good and you shake that all that remains, it's you, and that all of us can become that what you have called us to be, Lord, called this church to be, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let's eat and let's drink. Oh, Father, thank you for your mercy, your goodness, your grace. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for revelation. Thank you that we can have your word, Lord. Thank you for brothers and sisters who love you. Thank you that we can be together as family, Lord. Thank you for friends. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you bring us all closer together in you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, for healing where healing is needed, Lord. I pray for forgiveness where forgiveness is needed, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will repent where we need to repent, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will bring us to the point where you have called the church, because I really believe the church is the only answer to this world, Lord. We pray that you'll bring this church to that place where you have called us, Lord, to become the answer, Lord, to become Christ, to this community, Lord, and to the rest of the world, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to dismiss the service, and if anyone feels they need prayer, I'm going to be available for a little while to pray. If there's many people, I'll ask that some people come and pray with me, please. May God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.